Morning. We were singing about how faithful God has been to us and how good. I couldn't help but think of how blessed I am. I have here my son and daughter-in-law and my daughter and son-in-law and my two granddaughters and my four grandsons and plus my wonderful wife, and just how good God has been to me, and just how blessed I am, and just somewhat overwhelming. But, well, let's pray. Father God, just thank you that you are such an awesome God, that you are so great, and your love is so tremendous. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, that we could have life and wholeness and fellowship with you and that we could be your children. Help me to speak your words and to glorify you in what I say, that in all we do, you would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. She takes good care of me. How often have you wished you had a second chance to do something over again that you did or didn't do that turned out not at all the way you intended? When they make the movies and the TV shows, you'll have them, the actor will flub up their lines, and the director will say, cut, cut, let's do this over again, second time, 22nd time, whatever, until it looks perfect. But unfortunately, we don't have that option. In college, when we realized we had said or did something wrong, we'd say, let's have a do-over. It didn't change anything, but it at least expressed that we wished, we could have it done differently. We've all said and done things that we either immediately or days later or maybe years later wish we could do over again. We want a second chance to do it right, to make it, change it so that we could say what we ought to have said or to do what we ought to have done. And unfortunately, in this life, we don't have the opportunity to do that. We may try to apologize or explain ourselves, but it always seems like too little, too late, and we're left feeling helpless, defeated, feeling like we've fallen short, sense of shame that we just didn't measure up. And we live in a world that is very quick to remind us of our failures, times we did or said the wrong things. I remember in high school having a classmate tell me about how she remembered something I did wrong in kindergarten. And over again, we see aspiring politicians who are brought low by something they wrote or said decades earlier. And sometimes it's guilt by association. Coming from a family of five, my two next older sisters were frequently confronted by teachers on the first day of school being told, I had your brother, and I had your sister, and now I have you. And it was not a welcoming statement. Rather, it was a statement of negative recognition expectations based on what the older sibling did or didn't do. My next older sister did have a great comeback. She said, be prepared, there's another one on the way. Yours truly. But I earned my own negative reputation. I was a frequent occupier of the timeout chair, and well acquainted with standing in the corner, and a frequent visitor of the principal's office. So even starting a new school year didn't bring a fresh start, because prior teachers made sure that the new teacher knew all about Jimmy the troublemaker. And I remember pleading with my mom to take me to a new school so I could have a fresh start, so I could, someone who wouldn't know me and, have a fresh start. And isn't that what we all want? A fresh start, an opportunity to get off on the right foot, to have a second chance to do it right. But again, our world doesn't operate that way. We're judged not by what we do, but by everything we've done wrong. Our past mistakes haunt us. We had a pastor up in New York where even after 10 years of successful ministry, there were people who didn't believe that he had changed from the druggie he was before he came to Christ. So we're left feeling frustrated, defeated, helpless, ashamed of ourselves because of our past deeds. We think, why bother? I can't change the past, so I'm stuck with how I am. We say, my past defines who I am. But God has news for you. Good news. God says he is the God of new beginnings. He says your past does not define you. You are defined by what he says you are. And if you have accepted Christ, then you are a redeemed child of God. God says you are born again. Before you were born, what past did you have? None, because you had no past. God says that we are born again, and your life is new again because we are born again as a child of God. It's a fresh new beginning. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. My wife suggested I mark the passages, but I said this gives everyone a chance to look them up while I'm looking them up too. And if I happen to turn to 1 Corinthians, instead of 2 Corinthians, then you can realize that I need a second chance as well. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. God says we are not what we used to be. We're not what we have only done in the past. So who are you going to believe? The world and the sinners of the world, or are you going to believe Almighty God? Popular saying a while back was, I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. God is in the process of changing us into his image. So we need to stop looking in the rearview mirror at our past and what we did wrong, and instead we need to focus on the future and look forward to where God is taking us and how he is transforming us. When we fail, we need to quickly repent, ask for his forgiveness, and start afresh. His love and forgiveness allows us to get up and get going by his grace and in his strength. And if Jesus told us that we are to forgive our brother 70 times 7, how much more is God forgiving us every day? In Romans chapter 7, Paul describes the struggles each of us have in trying to do what is right, and how we don't do the good we want to do, and instead we wind up doing the evil we don't want to do. But then, in Romans 8:1, Paul proclaims the good news. So turning back a little bit to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is a God of the present, the now. He's a God of the here and now. And he says you are not defined by what you have done in the past. You are defined by what he says you are, a beloved child of God. God is a God of hope. In Jeremiah 29:11, God declares to the Israelite prisoners of Babylon, the bound and chained children of Israel who were led away from Jerusalem in bondage by the Babylonians. God tells them that he is with them, that he has plans for a prosperous and hope-filled future for them. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. They were led off in slavery with seemingly no hope. But God says there is hope, that things will be better for them not to despair, that he will restore them back to the land of Israel. God is in the transformational business. He assures us that what is now is not what will be. He's the God of the second chance, the God of new beginnings. Think of Peter. After three times denying Christ, Jesus restored him. Not just to, you know, say, well, okay, you know, we'll let you tag along with us, but allowed him to lead the early church. Now, people who know me today have a hard time believing I was as bad as I was, because they see the results of 50-plus years of God transforming me, making me into who I am today. Now, people who knew me growing up always are surprised that I didn't wind up in prison as a resident rather than as a volunteer. But I'm not an exception. I have a friend that I met at Augusta Correctional Facility named Red. Red came to a Kairos weekend primarily because there were free cookies and it was a change from the normal prison routine. But at the Kairos weekend, Red met Jesus. Now, Red was a skinhead, a white supremacist, who wanted nothing to do with anyone who wasn't white. He hated those who are black, brown, yellow, or red. But God transformed him. God turned his life around and gave Red a new beginning. On subsequent Kairos weekends, I saw Red volunteer to serve everyone, including our black, brown, yellow, and red brothers, serving them willingly, gladly, enthusiastically. Now, that was a number of years ago, but today Matthew, he doesn't go by Red anymore because that was part of his past. Today, Matthew continues to serve Christ Jesus and loves each of his Christian brothers, regardless of the color of their skin. Jesus is the life changer. He's the God of the second chance, and he doesn't keep count. Every time I mess up, he forgives me and gives me another chance. And he never gets tired of forgiving me. He never says, oops, that's once too many. Forget it. You know. He declares that there is therefore now no condemnation, just forgiveness and love, hope, and plans to prosper those who are in Christ Jesus. It's sometimes easy to think, yes, God forgave me when I was born again, but now I'm messed up and so forth. But it's not. Now there is no condemnation. And that's what he offers to each and every one of us, to each and every one of you. New beginnings each day, plans to prosper you, plans to bless you. His expectations for each of you is for you to grow in his grace, becoming more and more like him every day. Going back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. His purpose in working in our lives is to make us more and more like him. His love never fails. His patience never grows thin. But I don't have to make up for my failures and mistakes. I don't have to do things to earn that forgiveness. God's grace is sufficient. It's like the old hymn declared, Jesus paid it all. We can't make up for our past. We accept God's grace and forgiveness and strive to live for him each day, looking forward in expectation and hope with assurance that he will complete the work in us that he began when we were born again by the Holy Spirit. I'd like to encourage you to take some time this week to look back and think about this past year. Ask yourself, what growth have you seen in yourself this past year? What times did you resist temptation when you demonstrated patience or understanding? How did you react differently than in prior years? Maybe there were times you didn't respond the way you later wished you had. That's okay. God is a forgiving God. Ask him to enable you to do better next time. Don't wallow in defeat, but rise up in confidence that with God, you can do all things well. The past is past, but you have your whole future in front of you. What you did in the past does not determine what you will do in the future. What you did in the past does not determine what you will do in the future. My God will supply all your needs. Your need to be more patient. Your need to be more loving. Your need to be better resist temptation. Your need to be more generous. Your need to avoid those sins that so easily beset us. Your need to do your daily devotions each day. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Christ promises us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And maybe you're holding on to a hurt. Perhaps you have someone that you need to forgive. God can enable you to forgive them just as he has forgiven you. So, what are you looking forward to in this coming year? What would you like to see God do in your life in 2026? Expect to see God do great things in your life. We can look forward with confidence, hope, and joyful expectation because God is with us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been forgiven and set free to be all... Sorry, you have been set free to be all that God calls you to be. So go forth in God, by God, and for God. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in you we have hope, we have second chance, we have great opportunities to live for you, to honor you in what we say and do. We thank you that you are the God of the second chance and that you never get tired of us. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your goodness. Help us to keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.